Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, how you doing out there? Welcome to another show, episode number 17. My name's Tony Smith, alongside the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, B?
What up?
How are you, buddy?
I am freaking fantastic.
Got
How are you?
I got your sippy cup full, I see.
Always.
Ready to go?
Dude, my liver hates me right now. There's no joke.
I saw a shirt online. It was so cool. It said, shut up, liver. You're fine.
Yeah, literally. Like, this weekend, man, was, we had opening day for the Detroit Tigers
on Friday.
Dude, I'm not even joking. I had a drink downed by 9:30 a.m. Friday.
Hey, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's right. You know? So that was a long day. Saturday, it was beautiful out here, so definitely drinking outside, cleaning up the yard, stuff like that. And then Sunday, last Detroit Red Wings game at the famous Joe Louis Arena.
I forgot you went to that. How was that?
Dude, it was very, very cool. Before the first puck drop, there were about, 10 octopi that had already hit the ice by that point in time.
So you have to maybe explain what that tradition is.
Honestly, that started, I think, back during the 97-98 cup run.
It's an old hockey tradition.
Octopi are thrown on the ice.
So literally people, honest to goodness, guys, like people show up in,
I don't know how
there's security there.
Yeah.
And they go through your purse and everything else. I don't want to know where they put this octopus.
No.
They're carrying in an octopus.
Yeah.
And then they chuck it on the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. And a couple years ago, they came out with a thing, asking fans not to do it, but saying if you're going to do it, could you please boil it first so that it doesn't stick to the ice? So you can always tell, like, if one picks right up, then that person was intelligent enough to at least boil it first. The other ones where it sticks and it's got all the slime and nonsense on there.
NASCAR fans are weird.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're the weird ones.
Just checking. Okay.
Yes. Yes. So that was, like I said, my liver is not a fan of me at the moment.
That happens. Actually, I took a couple days. That's why we recorded last week. I went to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you took your son there.
Which was pretty cool. Drove right by, Watkins Glen area and Finger Lakes upstate New York. Really pretty area. Super cool.
Very cool. Yeah, you went up. You took the Canada route, eh?
Yeah, we cut through Canada.
Could have said hi to Brian West.
Yeah.
Our boy.
That was on the, don't think it wasn't, that wasn't discussed, actually. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a good time there?
Yeah, we did. Actually, Tim Raines was there.
Oh, no kidding.
He's being inducted this year, and it was kind of cool. I mean, we're there, so it's like a Wednesday afternoon. There's nothing, there couldn't be 20 people in the whole place.
That's very cool.
And Tim Raines is they're interviewing him, for his TV, pre-recording everything. He's doing all stuff. And so my son goes into the gift shop, and he found a Tim Raines rookie card.
Oh, nice.
And so he's standing there. There's my son and, four other guys, kids standing there.
Yeah.
Wanting autographs.
Yeah.
Zoom. Right on by.
That's a bummer.
And the first thing I thought of was Richard Petty.
Petty
would sign anything all day. Yeah. And I've talked about it before, but he said, if you sign something for someone, they'll forget about it, they'll lose it, they'll whatever. But if you don't sign for someone, they'll never forget it.
Now,
I was a Tim Raines fan until about 5 days ago.
Nice.
I mean, he could have signed every person in the building, employees included, and been done in 5 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
There was nobody there.
Well, pretty confident you haven't been to the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
I know
that's a place I would love to go, but if I'm ever make it down there, I want it to be a day like that when there's 20 people there and I can just not be rushed or
absolutely.
You
but
know.
You know what was cool about it? It was almost like a private party. Like we had the place to ourselves.
That's very cool.
Like we had whole rooms and floors of the there's three floors, right? And we had my son and I and three other people on the floor.
My
was cool.
My buddy and I, when we went to Boston for the Lions Patriots game, we went a couple days early, and one of the first days we got there, so it wasn't on game day or anything like that. Gillette Stadium actually has a Patriots Hall of Fame that is amazing. And you know, there were a couple schools there for that, so I literally like paced myself so that I was behind them so that I could just
take
in the glory and enjoy every minute of it. Yeah, that's very cool.
Now, side note, Cooperstown is right next to absolutely nothing. It is way, I mean, it's buried way in the woods.
Yeah, you're not stumbling across.
No, you're not gonna accidentally cruise through there. I'm gonna tell you that. But it was super cool. But
Cool.
So then got back in town and we had a new track.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a new aero package and some unhappy campers.
Yeah. Tony, we are very happy right now.
We are. This is a good week here,
dude. All right. So, as some of you probably know by now, when you listen to this, we just tweeted out before we started the show here today that next week NASCAR Chasm is going to join us on episode number 18 of the Lap Traffic Podcast, and we are very excited for that. Yeah, that's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, I'd say almost anyone who's on Twitter
and is a NASCAR
and is a NASCAR fan, you know who NASCAR Chasm is.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Gracious enough to join us.
And Landon Castle, dude, this guy got himself into
he painted himself into a corner, but you know what's a good corner,
hey,
right?
You know what, he's
there's worse things in the world than
absolutely.
Having people that want some love from you, right?
Absolutely. So yesterday I see someone pop across our timeline, hey, how many retweets to get a diecast or whatever, and you know, he said a thing, and I don't know, I'm on Twitter an hour later and I see it, something different come across. I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I actually went to his page and he's just responding to people after people. I'm like, oh shit, well, we're probably a little too late, and you know, like, people are probably tired of seeing all this stuff. But I'm like, what the hell, hey, how many retweets to come on a podcast, you know? And 100, like, shit, we can do that
easy. And thank you all,
absolutely,
so.
Thank you to everybody that retweeted. We're very excited. We've already he confirmed our
Confirmed the deal.
The deal, and
we've heard from the PR person, and we're just working out the who's and when's.
Absolutely,
so.
Yeah. We emailed them this morning. They emailed right back. They actually they asked if we could do it today, and we're like, hell yeah, we're actually recording today. Like, hey, give us a call.
Yeah, it's just
7:30.
Just the time. Yeah, the time
did
didn't
not,
work out.
No,
that's okay.
So
we'll get it done.
We're gonna get. Yeah, that's awesome. We're super excited about that.
So you know, honestly, so like the first thing that went through my mind is when you know, I'm see this, right? And I'm wondering if it's actually him or his PR folks.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That it's doing this. Oh, yeah, give it. Yeah, sure. Do 100 for this or 200 for that or 50 for this and whatever. And I'm like, and I'm wondering, like, so did he like piss somebody off at work? And he's like, oh, he doesn't have enough to do.
Dude,
fill up his calendar. You know,
some people got creative too. I saw a guy say, hey, how many retweets to be a on your pit crew for a weekend? And
oh,
he
wow.
said 300. And I'll be damned if this guy didn't have like 350 retweets of that.
Oh, no,
so
no kidding.
When he comes on, I'm curious to ask him what the final total was, the payouts that he had to do, and what's the crazy
stuff.
Yes.
Something tells me he's not going to be like running an air gun or anything.
I'm assuming it's going to be an honorary pit crew member or something like that. But nonetheless, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, here's a stopwatch. Go stand over there.
Yes. Yeah. Or maybe in the garage before practice, they let him undo a lug nut or something like that. But either way, that's so cool. I mean,
that's cool.
And that just goes to show you the lengths that NASCAR drivers will go for the fans, which is just incredible.
It's just so awesome. And you know what? He's the first one to do something like that. You know, so
to this
it was
extent,
kinda,
right?
Yeah,
like I've
extent.
Seen some people have done some hat giveaways and stuff like that, but he has definitely gone above and beyond the call
Raised
of duty.
The bar.
Yeah, just a smidge.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, very excited. So stay tuned for that, and make sure you check us out next week with NASCAR Chasm comes
on. The next couple weeks should be real good.
Hell yeah.
So doing good, another good week in downloads and
yes, yeah,
and all that good stuff.
Hell
so
yeah.
Keep it coming.
Tony, what do we got today, sir?
We are going to talk about Texas, obviously, the stage winners, fantasy updates, which should be a more popular
subject
for you this week. sixth installment of the Crew Chief Corner. Easy for me to say. We got lots to talk about. All-star race, midweek racing. I mean,
hell yeah. Plate's full today,
we
man.
We got a bucket full.
Yeah.
Get comfortable.
Hell yeah. Grab a beer. Sippy cup.
That's right.
Tony, the Xfinity race, my man. Erik Jones.
Yep.
Brings home the checkered flags on that one. Erik Jones brings home stage one. And William Byron, Xfinity regular, brings home stage two.
I like William Byron.
Hell yeah, yeah. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Tony, I mean, in all honesty, not a whole lot to talk about from the Xfinity side. I think it was, what, 6-9 guys only finished on the lead lap.
Yep.
You know, the track was not really rubbered in all that well. I know Saturday night after the Xfinity race, they rubbered up an extra groove on that thing.
They use the what they call the tire dragon.
Tire dragon, tire monster, something like that.
And really, it's just a little bit maybe better version of, I mean, tracks everywhere. They chain a bunch of tires together and drag them around the track.
Do you think had they done that before the Xfinity race, would that have improved the quality of racing?
It might have been a little bit. You know, but these guys, remember, they had to be a little on the cautious side. You know, qualifying and practices were a little exciting.
Yeah, a little bit. Cars getting out of control out there, you know.
But,
you know, top four cars, Cup guys, Erik Jones, Ryan Blaney, Kevin Harvick, Austin Dillon.
Yeah. So the real winner was Cole Custer.
Cole Custer, which, Harvick's...
Speaking of the top four, did you see that there was a tweet by our buddy, the Orange Cone?
Yes.
He said, all right, top four finishers in Xfinity. Candy from a baby, candy from a baby, candy from a baby, candy from a baby.
I did see that. So, that was pretty funny.
It was totally funny.
That was good. Yeah, so Cole Custer, really the, you know, first place Xfinity, which, awesome. He's a rookie in the Xfinity series. Stuart Haas Racing, only driver in the Xfinity field there, which is Kevin Harvick was in there, but... only Xfinity regular.
Yep.
So that was very cool.
Yeah, nice that helped him. He's down. He's in 12th place in the points.
Yes.
And he needed a good day like that. I know Mr. Dillon had other ideas a few weeks ago. But
details. Yes.
Yeah. It's a long season.
Yeah, absolutely. Random side note, Tony. Did you see about Bubba Wallace?
Bubba?
He's finished sixth the last five races while driving the number six car. So just to play into your conspiracy thing there, I assume he will finish sixth.
What if he does
it
one more week?
It's supposed to happen, man.
Rolling sixes, baby.
Xfinity standings, Elliott Sadler, first place with only a 6-point lead. Sadler's been doing this a long time.
Yes, sir.
6-point lead over William Byron, which is just goes to show that the Xfinity guys can hang a little bit, you know, over a full season, so to speak.
Yeah.
Ryan Reed, 42 back in third. Bubba in fourth. Allgaier in fifth.
Yeah. Allgaier got that win. That helped him a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, some maybe surprising names, like you mentioned, Cole Custer. But how about Dakota Armstrong sitting 11th in standings?
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty awesome. And if, you know, they can stay up there and, you know, make the Xfinity chase... Hey, that's some good exposure for them.
I agree, and I'm all for, you know, I've said it before, but I'm all for developing new drivers, new names, new sponsors, bringing, you know, they've got sponsors and teams and everything that they're trying to grow as well.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it all, you know, continue on.
Absolutely.
Right? They are the next generation, so.
Yes, sir.
I'm interested to see who comes up next.
Yeah.
And then there was the Cup race.
Cup race. Tony, I was watching some of this while downtown on Sunday for the game and checking it out as much as I could and stuff. Yep. And then last night I rewatched it while I was putting the show together here. Obviously, I knew Jimmy Johnson won the race, which made me very excited, but we'll get to that later. Ryan Blaney comes out with 2 stage wins, man.
He's been driving like his hair's on
mission, man.
Fire.
Hell yeah.
He's really doing a good job in that car. He really is.
He's putting the Wood Brothers reback on the map.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's, I think, a good way to put that.
Is reback a reback. Word?
Well, I mean, you know, they were there, then they went away, then Trevor Bayne put them back on, then they kind of came off. Now they're reback on
they're
from the back on.
Rebacked? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to look that one up later. All right.
I'm the professor. I can make up shit as I go along.
I went to public school, man. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. I don't know.
Tony, 7 races, 6 different winners.
That's good stuff.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for your boy, we'd have probably 7 different winners.
Yeah, hey,
you know?
You're picking on my boy. No, it is good stuff.
It's awesome. It's good for the sport, you know. And I wonder how much of that has to do with the tire package, level of competition getting better, the aero package. You know, I think there's a lot playing into the fact that, you know, the wealth is being spread around early on in the season.
It is. And, you know, and something that we've talked about before, but Jimmy Johnson even mentioned that this new aero package and everything favors the young drivers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they don't, like you said, they don't know any better. This is normal to them.
Yep.
And, you know, the more experienced guys are coming in. They're trying to get the car to do something that it's not going to do.
Yeah.
You know, based on what their experience is, that's what they're trying to do. So,
yeah. Tony, there has been a lot of talk about over the last few years of Chevy with Hendrick Motorsports dominance, Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing dominance, and Ford's kind of been the three-headed stepchild there a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ford's had some wins already this season. And not that where you start matters, right? It's all on where you finish. But to have five cars be Ford's start the race, two of which were Stuart Haas, who have, you know, made a manufacturer switch. Ford is letting everybody know, hey, we haven't gone anywhere. We're still here.
And here's what really tells me something, too, because if I'm not mistaken, they were hitting 208.
Going into turn one.
Right?
Yep.
That means those blue oval guys have got some horsepower.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, and they're getting it. I mean, they're getting it out of that corner, and they're launching.
Yeah.
So
once
they're onto something.
Once once we start getting and hitting some repeat tracks this year, you know, once we get back to the Daytonas, the Phoenix, you know, when we go back to Phoenix, when we come back to Martinsville, and these guys got a notebook with this aero package,
it'll be a different deal.
I assume we're going to see some good racing come the second half of the season.
You notice when you're looking at the cars. Like the side skirts under the doors, they're flaring out more and more.
It's crazy.
You know, and it reminds me of, you know, a few years ago when they did that. And then next thing you know, they're going down the straightaway, but they're half crooked.
Mm-hmm.
They're crab walking down the straightaways. And
and
I know NASCAR's really, really
obvious.
I mean, they're really pushing hard. I mean, obviously, how many cars didn't make it through tech?
Right? Dude, that's become an issue.
Even get them through. It didn't even qualify.
No. You know, it happened a couple races ago. Jimmy Johnson went to a backup car, and they made the decision themselves to just work on the car and not worry about qualifying. Dude, we had an obscene amount of cars that just couldn't get through qualifying.
It was like nine.
Yeah, that's absurd.
Yeah.
You know, you're barely running a full field, and you can't get all the cars through tech. At some point, I think NASCAR's got to come out and say, all right, hey, we're either going to give a little extra time here because, you know, it's not fair to the teams. I think, you know, this was never an issue before. You know, every once in a while, you heard about a car not making it through tech for qualifying or something like that.
It just tells me that they're scrutinizing these cars
tearing them apart, you know. And it's kind of interesting that it's getting to this level.
Now you got to find that line, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'll tell you right now, as a crew chief, there's not a legal car on the track.
Well.
Not one. There is not one that follows all the rules. Okay, but you got to find that sweet spot where you can. They're probably not going to look at these two things,
right? Yeah,
you know,
and what are they?
Yeah, and hopefully they don't put a magnet on there to find out that's not steel, you know,
like your battery stuff.
Hey, that case
is proven.
That is in the solved case folder over here. We solved that case. I was right, so
get over it, Brad.
Right. Get your arms around it, man.
Tony, what the hell happened to Austin Dillon's car,
man? That was crazy
as
hell.
Track bar mount and arm control brakes. Those were some pretty odd things to have break on a car. What the hell happened between happy hour and wheeling the car out there on Sunday?
I don't know. You know, honestly, it might have happened, you know, in the last lap that he, you know, had. Only thing I can guess is it was a broken weld, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, you know, you couldn't see. You know, until he got it out there and started driving it around and, you know, and it hurt.
Well, it was a pace light. He didn't even get a green flag lap around
that
here,
was
man.
A crazy thing that he
nuts.
Didn't know it before.
No, he made one lap around and hey, something broke, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and
really
took 12 laps he came back out.
Hey, here's the good news about it, though. He could have shot into turn one at 208.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
and had that break.
Absolutely.
Right?
And
so,
that probably would not have
you know,
favored too well there.
Yeah, so it was definitely strange. That was a new one for me, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Tony, so Texas track repave and reconfiguration.
Yep.
You know, they ran the tire monster or whatever Saturday night to put some rubber down to try to open up an extra groove there. You know, I just think, you know, everyone complains about track repaves like, oh, you know, like it happened at Daytona, happened at MIS, happened at Bristol. We're seeing that with Atlanta. You know, they were going to start the repave, so it was done for next year. And, you know, they're holding off to give it one more year because the track's got character. You know, the drivers like it.
But the stuff only lasts so long.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just the nature of it.
It's an inevitability that tracks got to get repaved. And what's the bummer is, you know, they're doing a lot more work to work with NASCAR to try to give it a better racing atmosphere in terms of on-track action at the start. But I just think it's something that we as fans just kind of need to take our medicine on that, you know, for a couple years. You know, the racing needs to develop itself again at the track.
And I actually like the fact that they took out some of the banking.
Yeah.
You know, and they changed it. You know, they changed. I'm not a big fan of the D-shape. You know, tracks.
Yep.
That's not.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not my favorite, but, you know, I mean, it's just what has to happen. I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, get a roof on the house either, but it's going to suck. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be noisy. It's going to be, you know, whatever, but it's just what has to be done. You know,
and I think, too, I think maybe I could be way off on this, but, you know, Texas didn't just repave. They reconfigured it a little bit.
Yeah.
Phoenix, they're doing the same thing. They're repaving and they're reconfiguring it a little bit. So
it's almost
I wonder,
like a new track.
Yeah. I wonder if with their tracks are maybe doing a reconfigure just to kind of make it newer to maybe add a little bit more excitement.
Absolutely.
Because of the fact the track racing may not be that great for the first few years.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Tony, you can throw the conspiracy sticker on my forehead here. So we've all of, regardless of who your driver is, you've been burned and you've probably reaped some rewards of a late race caution. Right, Tony. You know where I'm going. You know where
I'm
going with this.
I know exactly where you're going with this.
All right, Tony. If there's 100 laps to go, and there's a big hunk of sheet metal sitting in turn three, we're going to see that sheet metal in turn three.
Yeah, they're going to show a picture of that. They're going to show the guy get out of the truck, carried off.
Yeah, Tony. There was a late race caution.
Yeah, who was leading?
Mr. Harvick was leading that race. That is irrelevant at this point in time.
I flew out of my chair when that happened. I'm like, oh, Brandon. Oh, ho, ho.
And so, Tony, I didn't see what the debris was.
Yeah, I didn't see that
either. You know, there's a Twitter account out there called Phantom Debris, which I think is one of the funniest parody names out there, the Phantom Debris. And, you know, hey, you know what? Could we maybe just call it what it is? Hey, we want to line you guys back up.
Yeah,
you know?
we need a better restart. You know? We need to mix it up. Yeah.
And of course, I know that's not what it is. But you know what? Hey, show me that cigarette butt on the track that caused the debris, man.
And until honestly, you know, when in-car cameras were just still coming in, not uncommon for guys when they needed a caution, they would start
their water bottle.
Or they would start peeling off the foam on their roll cage.
Ah.
They take off a big chunk of that and toss it out the window. Let that fly around for a while.
Yep.
So
anyways, I thought that was kind of funny.
You never know. Who knows? But I'm not gonna completely disagree with you there.
Tony, anyone else have a decent finish that you?
Well, obviously, Jimmy, really, he just kept digging and digging and digging. You know, the other thing that caught my eye was Truex, who was gaining and gaining and gaining and, you know, and finished second in one of the stages and then kind of faded. And, you know, I think, so he was the only, so it was him in eighth place. It was the only Toyota. And then he goes all the way back to 15th place was Kyle.
Yeah.
The Toyotas are... missing something. There's something. They're off, and that did surprise me.
Yeah, I was Stuart Haas had a nice rebound. They have had some struggles the last few weeks.
They needed that. Well, you know, a lot of that's racing luck.
Sure.
Absolutely. They just had some crummy racing luck.
But three out of the four Stuart Haas guys finished in the top 11. Good day for Hendrick Motorsports Junior. Finally gets a top five.
Yeah.
Chase gets a top 10. He's been impressing the hell out of me too. Jimmy wins, and you know, poor Casey Kane there, man. He's had a struggle the entire year. Yeah, yes, he's had seven. Atlanta, he crept up there, trailed off a little bit, but he's not having a good year so far starting out. It's early still though, but and then Ganassi Racing, man,
who is just the workhorse for Chevy right now.
They're just like Ford, letting everybody know, hey, we're still here, boys.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I mean, they built their own chassis this year.
Yeah.
They went away from Hendrick, and they're beating Hendrick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So pretty impressive. Good for them.
Absolutely. And solid showing for Roush. Both cars top 15.
Step
man.
In the right direction.
Yeah. Bain and Stenhouse.
No, it doesn't hurt, though. I think those Blue Oval guys got a few extra ponies.
Hey, at least this past week they did. They were on a mission.
Yeah. But no, they ran well.
From a standing standpoint, Larson and Elliott still 1 and 2. Brad sitting in fourth.
Yeah, how about that? Kyle Larson, second place again.
Dude.
Really?
Hey, you know, Mark Martin and Kevin Harvick, I think it was the year before Harvick won. I think he had 13 top twos. And I know Mark Martin, I think, still holds the record for most second place finishes in a season. It was an obscene amount of numbers. But Kyle's making a run. Larson's making a run for that one.
Yeah, he's going to.
Johnson with his win moved up to 11th. You know, some guys that are still being awfully quiet. Denny Hamlin, Jr., you know, he got a top five. Matt Kenseth, Casey Kane. There are still some guys that.
I thought Kenseth would have a better run than what he did.
You know, maybe once we get to a mile and a half or that's not a new track, you know, maybe we'll see a little something better out of him, you know.
That did surprise me. I think what is he was like 16th or something like that.
16th. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Cost me a little bit of money. That's a side note. Anyways. Details.
One thing that I noticed when I was looking at the standings sheet was the amount of playoff points that's like Brad Keselowski. He's got 10 playoff points, Tony.
Does he really?
And while he's sitting in fourth, he's a lock for the chase already. So really that it's irrelevant kind of where he finishes. Those playoff points are going to carry over and just really help the drivers. Brad's really setting himself up for that.
Yeah, he is. Now, side note, speaking of playoffs, I've talked to three different people this week that said they kind of drifted away from NASCAR a little bit. They're like, wait, what is this playoff stuff and this in the stages and all of that stuff? And I explained to them how they're doing the stages. You know, and they're basically like sprint races leading up to the final race, whatever. They all of them said, hey, that might actually make me want to watch a race again. You know, so kudos to NASCAR. That was cool. It seems to be trending that way. I like hearing that rather
absolutely.
Than.
We had a couple people on Facebook say that they found our show and we're helping them stay interested in NASCAR. So that's.
Yeah.
The best compliment I think we could get.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Thank you. That's very nice.
Absolutely.
I like hearing that.
Tony, they came out today with the All-Star race format.
I only glanced at that. I haven't had a chance to dive into that. They always come up with something nutty.
Dude, I literally added this into the show when I got home from work because I saw that this came out. All right, I'm just going to run down here the format for this race, all right? Sit down, grab a beer, and some popcorn.
As we understand it today.
Yes, all right. The race is going to be four stages, okay? They couldn't keep it at three to be consistent with, you know, the whole entire regular season.
No.
So we got four stages, three 20 laps, and a 10-lap shootout for 70 laps, all right? The main objective is to get into the final 10-lap shootout, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The winner of the first three stages will get a spot in that. And then the other seven cars are going to be determined by the best average finish of all three stages. And the 10 cars will be lined up based on their average finish for the first three stages. And the winner is going to get $1 million. So here's how I see it. If I'm the first one to the track, stand up, sing Yankee Doodle Dandy, and beat my mother's cousin to the finish, get to make the 10-lap shootout. So I'm bringing a car, and I'm ready to roll.
The 3-lap average. So what if you come up, there's four different people that have an average of 21.
Hey,
which could happen.
Hey, I don't know.
I mean,
qualifying for the main event is going to happen Friday night. And there's going to be a no-limit four-tire pit stop. They had that last year. That was actually pretty fun to watch them actually take into account the pit of changing the four tires during their qualifying and adding that.
That's, I like that.
That's pretty sweet because that actually adds the crew into that.
And they have the – I mean, do they still have the pit crew challenge? They used to have like,
I believe,
the truck driver challenge all of that stuff. That's cool.
Yeah. And then drivers who are eligible are anyone that won a point event in 16 or 17, won an all-star race and competes full-time, championships and compete full-time, and those who haven't earned a spot can do so through the fan vote and all of the usual NASCAR gimmick stuff to qualify for the race. Now, Tony, now that the formality of the all-star race is... been digested. Do we need to give everyone a minute here? Okay, I got
it's
it.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Right?
Tony, they're talking about giving two tire options for the race.
All for it.
Right? Now that's cool.
All for right? it.
Break that down for us there, sir.
So here's what happened. So, you know, they always talk about a tire compound. Tire compound is how hard the rubber is. And the harder the tire is, like they'll have a hard tire like at Atlanta, where it's an abrasive track, and it has to last a long time, right? So it's going to be harder, okay? Now, if you go with the softer tire, you can go with the softer tire, and it'll grip it better, but it's not going to last anywhere near as long. So what they're talking about, it's very similar to anybody, you know, I don't know how many people watch IndyCar as well, but I watch everything. They've been doing this for a while, and they have a set of tires. They get one set, and they have red letters on them. And they said, all right, so then you'll know, uh-oh, you know, whatever. Keselowski just went out on his reds. I think they're actually talking about making them green.
Yeah. Yep.
Green letters. So, like, the Goodyear will be in a different color.
Mm-hmm.
So that you'll know that that's the, you know. But here's the thing is they're softer. They're going to grip the track better. They're stickier. And you will be faster. And I mean noticeably faster. All right?
Yeah.
For a minute.
Yep.
Like, it's only, they're not good for a 50-lap run.
Right.
They're going to go, you're going to be fast as hell for 20 laps. And then the rest of that. They're going to fall apart.
Yep.
So that's the...
You got to play some timing into that, and when you think cautions might come out, you know. If you only got 20 laps left and a caution comes out, well, then hell yeah, you're throwing in bad boys on there if you still got them.
But here's the thing is, though, the harder compound might be faster over a duration of 20.
Right.
But you're going to... Or you put on the softer ones and you go fast as hell for 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And then they fade off. What's the total?
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Were you 4 seconds faster with the soft ones? So yeah, roll those dice carefully.
Yeah. But, well, and there was talk of I saw someone mention that NASCAR is not ruling out making that an option for point races next year.
Amen.
And I tell you, you know, we were talking about this before we started recording tonight about how your top tier teams might save that for, you know, a late rate caution like that happened. You know, this week at Texas, and maybe you're going to see teams that, you know, are finishing 15th to 30th, maybe pull those tires out if there's a late caution and we're close to the end of a stage to try to get some playoff points and, you know.
Hey, if I'm in 12th or 13th in one of the stages and my car is just not that great, that's the best I've been all day, put them on.
Yep.
I'm gonna try and get in that top 10.
Get some playoff points, right? You know, if you know you can get yourself some playoff points in 15 laps, hey. You know, if you don't think you can fix the car over the course of the day, absolutely, right?
Yep. There's actually a few things that I really like that IndyCar's doing like that. They have a thing that I think would be great for NASCAR, especially when you're at the track. It's in the window. It'd be like, you know, it's actually on the car right behind the driver, and it's digital. And it shows what place the driver's in.
Yeah.
So if there's two drivers racing and you're not sure. Yeah. Maybe they
are
just went
for position
pits,
or they
is
not?
This
yeah.
for position or not?
Yep.
If it says 6th and 7th, then you know it is. And if it's 6th and 21st, then you know that it isn't. Yeah. I thought that's cool.
It's very cool.
You know, I like the push to pass. I like. There's a lot of stuff they got going on there that's okay.
I know one thing you're a fan of, too. They've got that check when they come down pit road so that they can't – the rev limiter, right?
Rev limiter. Yeah. They just hold that button down, and then they don't – there they do it more for, like, a safety.
Sure.
You know, a safety thing, but – Yeah, there's. I think there's a lot of stuff that, you know, let's take the best practices.
Absolutely. Right?
I don't mind. Hey. I don't mind stealing someone else's idea
if it's
if it makes it better and if it's, you know, add something to it. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So. Why not? Why not?
So hopefully that makes sense. But yeah, that's it's just a stickier, softer tire, but it is not going to last long.
Right.
So use that one bullet carefully. Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Good deal. Good deal. Good deal. All right.
Want to hit some social media?
Yes, sir. All right. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And make sure to listen to us on iTunes, Podbean. Make sure you subscribe. Send us a comment. Tony, we're getting real close to giving away that Martin Truex autograph.
Only about 100 away or so,
aren't we? We've got about 100 more to go. So that's very cool. Some shout outs to some new followers. Facebook, Ashley Stange, who follows us on Twitter as well. She's a lot of fun to talk with.
Yeah,
very
I agree.
Cool.
Yeah, yes, she is. Yeah.
Another Facebook follower, Jeff Sanchez, and Troy Cole from Iowa, big Brad Keselowski fan. So I know Tony's happy to have you aboard there, Troy.
He sounds like a cool guy.
Yeah. on Twitter, big shout out to Zabransky's Pit Stop at Krabby Guys. Tony, they followed us, and I went back and forth on the DM with them a little bit. Dude, he's got a man cave collection that gives mine a run for the money.
I gotta see this.
And his man cave was actually featured on Fox Sports.
Shut up. Are
it's
you serious?
Sick. Yeah. I actually have he sent me some pictures. Yeah. They're up on our website. I'll show you after the show.
How did I not see that?
Very cool.
Wow. Hey, yeah, congratulations. That's cool.
That's awesome.
Dang.
Big shout out to L at @MICHELS_ELLE. Big senior fan. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Big shout out to Dr. D at DBurton57. Big Jeff Burton fan. So welcome, new followers. And again, thank you for following us. And again, thank you to everyone that retweeted to help us get to our 100 retweets to get Landon Castle on the show in a couple weeks.
That
here,
was
I assume.
So cool.
Yes. If you've been to a race, if you got a cool collection, whatever it is, shoot us over some pictures. I actually put up probably about 10 new pictures on the website that I've gotten over the last couple weeks. So that's very cool. Tony, we're making progress on the logo.
Boy, it's
like taken
pushing,
us a lot longer.
Like pushing rope.
But, you know, things, you know, we keep growing. You know, we don't want to change the logo, you know, every 6 weeks or anything like that. You know, we want this to be an awesome logo.
And it's super hard because it's, you know, just that would look really cool on a website. It would look terrible on a T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
so,
you can't even do that on a T-shirt. Or, you know, I mean, you know, so yeah, there's so lots.
It's coming, but it's going to be badass when it comes out.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of confidence
in that.
Been
a learning curve as well, so for us. But yes. So thank you for your patience there.
Yes. If you got anything you want to send us, feature it in the Man Cave, send it to our P.O. Box, The Laugh Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan 48072. And last but not least, some fantasy updates.
Hey, you know what? Before we hit that,
yes,
I want to also fan on Facebook.
Yes.
But also my neighbor lady.
Yes. Oh.
Kathy Harkonnen. And she found this cool, it's a hardcover book, and it's huge. It's the Encyclopedia of Stock Car Racing, and it is literally the A to Z. Here's the Allison family. This is right down to the Yarbrough family and the history of ARCAs and everybody in between and tracks. And it's actually really cool. It's dated. It's probably from the early 2000s, but it's super cool. So if anybody sees this out there, grab it. She said she found it at a secondhand store or something.
Nice.
and thought of us. And,
very cool.
And gave that to me. But so we were kind of thumbing through that before the show. It's some cool stuff you forgot about, like, you know. So
right.
Some of the crew chiefs and you know, Neil Bonnet and Tim Brewer and all those guys you're going through there. So pretty cool.
Cool.
Fantasy picks.
Hell yeah.
a better subject for you, not quite as touchy today?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy. Greg and I are very happy as we were the only two that picked Jimmy Johnson this week, which was awesome.
How many times you use Jimmy now?
I honestly think I may only have him one more time. But you know what? It was well worth it.
Yeah, it was. You got your win.
Got my win.
You knew it.
Yeah. I'm finally not in last place anymore, but we'll get to that in a minute. Cody has started to get a little separation there. He now has a 15-point lead over Chris, yourself, and John, who are all tied for second with 55.
I'm climbing up there, but man, Cody's making it tough. So, Cody, hey, you know, I just saw a thing today, if you're listening. Like, there are some great vacation packages out there. I mean, if you wanted to go away for a couple weeks, say like 3-4
You need that many to catch him, man.
Probably, dude. This, 15 points, man. Preferably if you went somewhere, without cell service
so you couldn't get the
internet
pick,
yeah.
Aaron and Rich are tied for third with 50. I am not in last place anymore, and I am holding steady in ninth place with a whopping 20 points, 7 races in.
So you're 50 points behind.
50.
5-0.
Hey, okay. I ain't giving up.
All right, okay.
I'm making a run.
It's a long
season. Hey,
know,
you want to know what? But I'll be most improved. That's
yeah. All right. Okay. not most underperformed.
No. Smart ass.
Anyway. So what is this midweek race stuff?
Tony, I saw an article that came out this week that talked about the potential of some midweek races.
I saw this. Yeah. I guess, you know, I glanced at it and I'm like, I can't even get my head around the what's and whys. So,
yeah. So
give me the high points right, man. So, I am literally behind on this one.
So there is not a point race planned for a midweek race next year or anything like that. NASCAR has not ruled out moving the 2018 All-Star race to a midweek race. Tony, I read through this and a lot of things ran through my mind is where could the good come from a midweek race and where could the bad come? And I got a lot of bad with only one potential maybe pro here behind it.
Okay. I got to hear this.
All right. So midweek race, in my opinion, if you're going to have a Tuesday, Wednesday, I doubt Thursday. I'm assuming they're saying a Wednesday race, Wednesday night race. The only way you could do that is if it was followed by an off weekend. I don't see how.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to. Kind of like the NFL does.
Well, and they don't even do that, you know, and they're not even all that great on that sometimes. Like, there are a lot of NFL teams that, hey, you play Sunday and you got to turn around and play Thursday. Now, you're not going to turn around Thursday and play Sunday, but you're going on a 4-day rest in the NFL. You know, those aren't the best quality games when teams are doing that.
Well, no.
Players are getting hurt. Like, it's not, you know, all that conducive to the players and those involved in those games on that specific
day. I know we're not an NFL show here, but that always I thought it was kind of a oxymoron to do that when they, you know, it's player safety and it's concussion and it's injury recovery and whatever, and then they make you go out and play in 3 days.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you're still sore, you're banged up, bruised, hurt, and you know, and they're putting you out there. I never got that one.
You know, so when we're talking about NASCAR where you've got 3-day events with practice and qualifying, I just don't see how you're going to go Wednesday, get back to the shop, get back to the track 2 days later, start practice. Like, I just don't see that happening. So I would think that if they're going to run that, there would have to be followed by an off weekend.
So let me ask you a question. And I'll throw this out there for anyone, you know, hit us up on social media. But does the All-Star race do anything for you?
You know, I mean, other than a night race, you know, I'm maybe biased in that I don't like all-star events. As a kid in high school, I did just because I was, you know, I just wanted to watch whether it was football, basketball, whatever it is. But, you know, the NFL All-Star game is a joke. It's you know, there's no competition. It's all just a skills competition, basically.
The joke was like 4 exits past. We went way past.
Right. Yeah.
It's back then.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would much rather see like the NHL. They do the skills competition. You know, seeing guys you know, see how fast they can. I would much rather watch something like that than just watching the cars out on the track.
Well,
like,
and that's
for
what
me,
I'm,
that's like the Bud Shootout or, you know, whatever the Clash was, you right. know. I watch that because it's leading into Daytona and I'm pumped because I haven't seen anything.
But that's what I'm saying. So, yeah. like, I like the Pit Crew Challenge.
Right.
And they have, I don't know if they still do this, but, like, you know, the truck drivers, your hauler.
Yes.
You know, they have contests for those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I like that.
Yeah, I'd rather
because
watch
that stuff that you don't get to see
sure.
every day.
Show off your individual skill. Let me
see
that.
I get to see those cars. It's just in a different paint scheme, and it's the same guys.
I know, you know, a lot of people do enjoy it, you know.
Just curious. I mean,
I watch it, you know, absolutely. You know, I don't know. It doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah. So let me ask you, let me throw one more. I just used to have the IROC race where they're all identically prepared cars.
Yep.
I'd almost rather see that.
Something, right? Like,
let's see who's really driving and really who has a car.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yep. So, anyways. Yeah.
Another thing that I could see as a potential issue is attendance at the track. You know, people take, you know, 3-day weekends, 4-day weekends. Maybe someone takes a Monday off because they're in case of rain on Sunday, they're going to run on Monday. But you run a Wednesday race, you know, a lot of your track attendance is people that are there camping, whether it's in the infield or around the track on the outside. You know, how much time are people people are willing to take a 3-day weekend or a 4-day weekend. But if you're doing a midweek race,
you're taking
the whole week off.
You're getting
locals, right? Like, and that's another thing too. Like, all right, if you know, I'm a Lions season ticket holder. Lions are playing a Thursday night game. No problem. I can hop down to Detroit in 20 minutes, go to the game, and I'm back in 20 minutes. Even for your locals, it still may be an issue. I mean, if Michigan were to run a Wednesday night race, dude, that'd be a pain in the ass getting home Wednesday night, man. Like, that's the difference, I think, between some other sports and NASCAR in terms of weekday events is most of your arenas are in suburban areas where it's quick access to and from. You know, you're not maybe making that big of a journey where most of our tracks are in the sticks. Like, you're not getting home from a track in 20 minutes to a half an hour. Like, it's going to be a travel. And that's, you know, between midweek, extra time off work and all of that, I could really see that impacting attendance at the track, potentially.
Yeah. I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
So, let us know your thoughts, guys. I mean, you know, I don't know the answer. It doesn't.
No.
It's not something that I'm going to go way out of my way to watch. Well, you know, I it's okay. But
I'm not done with my cons yet of a midweek
racer. I'm sorry.
Another thing I thought of.
He's got more.
I've got more. Oh, I went on a roll with this shit. What happens if it rains? Which leads all the more to that would have to be during an off weekend the following
week. You're taking another vacation day.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's all right. So if they're scheduled to run a Wednesday night race and it rains, now it's pushing to Thursday. There's no way you're making, you know, if you're supposed to be at a track the following week. You know, so I would have to. That was another thing. So the only pro that I thought of is that it might help TV viewership. And even that's questionable because, all right, so Sunday afternoon race, would people rather be outside barbecuing, hanging with friends, family, whatever, than watching the race? I don't know. I mean, I'm dialed in. I know all of our fans are dialed in. Would you be more inclined to watch on a Wednesday night race? And Tony, you brought up a good point. You got kids. I didn't even think of this one.
Man, we got baseball games. I mean, there's lots of stuff going on. I got to go home. You know, I'm cutting the grass, going to a game, you know, all of that stuff. Sunday is like the only time when I can finally shut it down for
a couple hours
and watch some NASCAR. Yeah. It's a good day for me, but.
So I don't know. They're obviously not rushing into anything with this, but I'm sure everything I just rattled off isn't anything that NASCAR isn't thinking about.
Well,
so.
I was going to ask you at the beginning of that to give us your 2 cents, but hell, that was at least 5 cents worth. So thanks for getting
got your money's worth,
brother.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
You ready to go to work?
I'm ready to go to work, brother.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to another edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. Make sure you send Tony your questions at his new Twitter handle, @CrewChiefTony. Use the hashtag AskCrewChiefTony. Tony, You got a lot of random questions over the race weekend while you were in charge of Twitter while I was at the Red Wings game. Tony, what do you got for questions this week?
Lots of questions all surrounding the same topic.
Okay.
Wheels, tires, rims.
Tires. Wow, it's crazy how people are already picking up on your love for tires,
man,
baby.
Well, you know, it's a hot topic. And, yeah. But so, yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit. So, you know, Lori, the funnest nurse I know.
Absolutely.
And Hugh and lots of people that we talked to, but they had lots of questions about the rims, tires, and lug nuts even. So so I'll get into that a little bit. So the question actually Hugh had was, who owns these rims, the lug nuts? Who's responsible for all of this stuff? And the answer is the teams own those rims, okay? They take those rims, they have their numbers on them, they're painted their special way, whatever. They own those. Those are Penske's rims, those are JGRs, those are, and they take them over to the Goodyear hauler. Then they go back and they pick up all of their, you know, their mounted tires on there. Then what they'll do, they'll come back and they take, it's gasket sealant is what it is. They take the lug nuts and they glue them onto the tire. Onto the rim, so that they can put them on and hit them real fast. That's what they do there. So that's the answer to the first part of that. Now the other question that we were getting was, why were they going out on sticker tires in practice, coming back in, right?
That was my question.
That was your question. Yeah. I saw that on here. So it's called scuffing, and what you do is, so a brand new tire that's got stickers on it. That's part of the reason why when they leave the pit box, that's why they burn them. They're not doing it for show. They're not doing it for anything. They're trying to get those stickers off there, and they're trying to scuff them up. Okay, they're trying to build heat into them. They're trying to get them a little stickier. And what you do when you get a brand-new tire, you go out and turn a lap or two, bring it back in, get it up to temperature. And, like, these things run, like, 200 degrees, right? So you get them up to temperature and cool them back down. Okay, that's called a scuff. And they're much stickier than going out on a set of brand new tires.
So, Tony, tie that into the fact that Texas was a new repave, you know, because typically we don't see them talk about that as often.
When there's no rubber on it, so when the best condition is rubber on rubber, right? They stick to each other well. There's no rubber on that track. Okay, so that's what they're trying to do with the tire dragging and everything, is to put rubber on the track so that it adheres better to it. But it's a hard tire, so a hard tire is not going to stick to it. Softer, gooier, gummier tire will grab onto it. So that's what we're talking about, you know, these softer compound tires. This is a very technical industry term, but we're going to call it gooey. Okay. They're
wow. And you're getting at me.
Right. Not unless you're on Richard Childress Racing, which it doesn't matter because they
jeez.
Anyways.
Good Lord.
But yeah, so that's what the softer compound tires do. They'll stick better, but they will come apart. So, you know, we talk about, and we see it on some of the camera shots, especially on short tracks, the marbles. Well, wait till you see these soft compound tires. They come apart in a chunk the size of a marble, literally. So that's the thing, is they're going to be fast, they're going to be gooey, and they're going to be good for a minute.
So will those tires run a risk of cutting?
Absolutely.
Faster, too?
Absolutely. Not, you know, what's going to happen is you run them too long, and they go down to the cord. There ain't nothing there.
You're going to shred the tire off the panel, and you're going into the wall.
That's exactly right. So that's, you know, and I say for a minute. I don't mean like a literal 60 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, but they're only fast for X number of laps.
Yep.
They're not intended to go a full, you know, tank of gas run.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, hopefully I answered those questions. So thanks for bringing those in, and keep them coming,
guys. Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Stay tuned for more.
Oh, I'm sure we'll hear more about this.
Absolutely.
This one,
absolutely.
Something very near and dear to my heart. I like this stuff.
I think we can tell, sir. Very nice. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for the sixth edition.
Did I give you your 5 cents worth, or was that only two?
No, that was about three. Three.
All right.
Nice. All right. That'll do it for the sixth edition of the Crew Chief's Corner with the Lab Traffic's Crew Chief, Tony Smith.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tony,
Yes, sir.
We did some odds last week for Texas. I kind of tried to set it up a little bit, and I wasn't too far off.
You're getting better at this.
It's only taken me 2 weeks. I'm actually kind of impressed with myself, if I may dust off my shoulders.
Yeah.
So I set Kyle Busch at plus 450, and he was actually plus 700, according to Vegas odds. Brad Keselowski, I nailed this one right on. I set him at 550, and he came in at 550. Kevin Harvick, I set at 900. Now, Tony, Kevin Harvick came in at plus 525 and was the favorite to win the race. I will guarantee you that line adjusted after he ran qualifying, and I bet you he was probably closer to the 700-800 mark. And once he got the pole, money was coming in on him, so they had to adjust that line down a little bit there.
Qualifying. He was not a little bit faster.
No.
He was a tenth of a second or more. Yeah. I mean every time he was he had the car there.
Absolutely. Jimmy Johnson, I said at plus 1,100, and he came in at plus 800. And Matt Kenseth, I set at plus 1,500 and came in at plus 1,200. So I'm not too far off, and we're going to keep these odds going. Since we're in an off week this week, I'm not going to announce my Bristol odds yet because I haven't done them yet.
Yeah.
But we'll have that for next week as we head into Bristol week, which I'm very excited for. Bristol.
Love Bristol.
We're coming off an awesome race at Martinsville. The Bristol track just continues to get its character back. This new package. I think we are in for an exciting Bristol race.
I agree. I absolutely agree, man. That place is so cool.
I can't wait to get there. I think that's next year's travel race. Bristol.
I'd do that.
Most definitely. Tony, that's all I got.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
You want to hit social media one more time?
Absolutely. All right, make sure you check us out on our website, The Lap Traffic Podcast. We got our fantasy standings up there. Some new pictures from you guys that have sent that in. So check out our website. Make sure you like our Facebook page, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Podbean. Download our show. Send us some comments. Keep talking to us on social media. We love it. Can't thank you enough for retweeting.
Absolutely.
To get Landon Castle on the show. We're so pumped about that. And, Tony, what do we got coming up?
Next week, we have, from Twitter fame, NASCAR Chasm. We have no race, so I'm sure we'll come up with some other fun things. Maybe, who knows what else NASCAR is going to throw
in there.
But, hold on for the ride and make sure you stick around every week. Otherwise, you will become Lap Traffic. Talk to you next week.
See ya.